We are kicking off a new series this morning, and I'm very excited about this. It's titled, The Tough Love of Jesus. And I'm hoping that the title itself is provoking us to think. When we think of Jesus, when we think of the love of Jesus, the default paradigm that pops up into our mind is compassion and forgiveness. This is true. As Felix was sharing this morning, and as we worship, and as we thank God and experience His love, there is infinite forgiveness in Jesus. But to limit the love of Jesus only to forgiveness would be inaccurate. And we also often think of the love of Jesus in warm, fuzzy, lovey-dovey terms. You know, a lot of songs we sing, and we like seem to like these songs really a lot in New City. Jesus comes running, my lover to me. I wish I could sing that song. I really like the song. We've sung it quite a bit in New City. Or slightly older song, In Your Arms, I Believe, you're Holding Me Now. Songs like those, and of course, the love of Jesus is warm, fuzzy, lovey-dovey, it makes us feel good. Of course it does that. But if this is the only love of Jesus that we experience, we haven't fully understood the depths of the gospel. Let me talk to those of us who are explorers of Jesus. If you're here for the first time, you may never have read the Bible before, you may never have sung these songs before, you may never have been to a church before. And we've had a lot of people like that with the New City. And this is the one thing we hear for them, hear from them. They said, man, the vibes here are good. You know, I like the energy here. And so tough love for those of us who are explorers of Jesus, it just means this. Yes, the vibes are good. But don't just settle for the vibes. There's so much more that Jesus can offer to us. Jesus can get in and transform us. So let's not just settle for the vibes, you know, and the transformative power of Jesus. That's tough love, you know. We'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. And so this sermon series, entire sermon series on tough love, we're beginning the series today, is based on the biblical fact that the way Jesus loved the crowds and the way Jesus loved the disciples are very different. Jesus loved the crowds differently. Jesus loved the disciples differently. He loved them both equally, but He loved them very differently. As the disciples found out, the closer you draw to Jesus, the more of His tough love you will experience. The more intimate we become with Jesus, the more of His tough love we will experience. The more I grow spiritually, the more of His tough love I will experience. So what is this tough love? There's a quote from an author and a pastor named Rick Warren. And this quote kind of really helps me communicate to us what tough love is. And this is what Rick Warren says. He says, God is more concerned about our character than He is about our comfort. This does not mean that God is unconcerned about our comfort. That's not what He's saying. But He's saying God is more concerned about our character than He is about our comfort. This is tough love. Tough love does two things. Tough love pulls us out of our sinfulness, and tough love presses us into the service of others. Tough love pulls us out of our sinfulness, and tough love presses us into the service of others. These two things happen simultaneously. They are not mutually exclusive. It's not that Jesus first pulls us out of our sinfulness, and once He's fully pulled us out of all our sinfulness, and once we're absolutely perfect, then He presses us into the service of people. Not at all. Both of these things, both of these expressions of tough love, we experience every day simultaneously in our lives. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring many passages from the life of Jesus and even from the Old Testament where God demonstrated his tough love. And you'll be hearing this one sentence over and over and over again. Tough love pulls us out of our sinfulness, and tough love presses us into the service of others. So where in the Bible does it talk about tough love? The phrase tough love itself is not there in the Bible. But the Bible is full of God's tough love expressed to us. One really good passage which captures this for us is Hebrews chapter 12. We're not going to be looking at that passage today, but I'd encourage us, for those of us who have this doubt, this tough love, a biblical concept, just spend 5 minutes reading Hebrews chapter 12. We look at that chapter as, you know, perhaps in one of the sermons in this series, but today we're not going to be looking at it. And Hebrews 12 really explains what the tough love of God is to us. Biblical tough love is not to be confused with tough love in popular culture. Tough love is quite popular in our culture. The word was coined, the phrase was coined by an author named Bill Milliken, who actually wrote a book by the same name. And it has a concept, it has a paradigm of tough love. The book was celebrated by many. The book was also criticized by many because they said this kind of tough love actually leads to the abuse of people. And this kind of tough love doesn't really help. That's not biblical tough love. In biblical tough love, God will never do anything to harm or abuse us. Biblically, the tough love of God will only make us better and better. This first sermon in the series of talks is based on an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. I've titled it, "What Do You Have?" I believe that's what Jesus is asking us this morning. What do you have? And allow me to read a passage for us from the Bible. This is from Mark chapter 6. I'm going to be reading from verse 7 to 12 and then 30 to 44. It's a slightly long passage, but a very engaging passage. So here, let me read it for us. Calling the 12 disciples to him, Jesus began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. Imagine your boss calling you and saying, I want you to go out on a work trip. You've got to visit many cities. Give me all your credit cards. You don't have an office expense account. And you're not taking any money away. You're not taking any money with you to the trip. That's what Jesus is saying. Let's read on. So they follow Jesus' instructions. Many people are blessed. And then they come back and they report to Jesus. And that's where we pick up the passage again, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and report to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all towns and got there ahead of him. And imagine you're back from your work trip and your boss says, you've done an amazing job. Let me take you to an offsite. Now let's go to a nice, quiet destination, Thailand or you know, whatever. And then you pack up, start your destination, and your boss finds out that there are 50 customers also there at the destination. You have to do some work there as well. Let's continue with the passage. Verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. send the people away so they can go to the country, surrounding countryside and village and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked them. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he gave them thanks, broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of people who had eaten was 5,000. Could we just pray as we explore from this passage what the tough love of Jesus means to us? Father, we welcome you. Because as human beings, we cannot comprehend the construct of love unless you had first loved us. You showed us, you created in us emotionally, intellectually, physically, the capacity to give and receive love. And Lord, we stand before you in repentance that we have contorted, perverted the meaning of true love, twisting it to suit our conveniences. So this morning we come before you in repentance and we pray, Spirit of God, would you help us seeing the love of a holy God in our lives? We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to draw 2 things for us from this passage. The first thing I'd like to draw for us is the call of tough love. And the second thing I want to draw for us is the goal of tough love. The call of tough love and the goal of tough love. Let's start with the call of tough love. One of the biblical premises for this series is that Jesus loved both the crowd and the disciples equally, but he loved them differently. It is his disciples more than the crowd that Jesus calls out more to be beneficiaries of his tough love. That is pretty obvious in the passage that we read. Let me trace everything that happened here. Jesus sends his disciples 2 by 2 and he says, go and heal the sick, preach the good news. It was a new mission. This was their first mission trip. The disciples had never done something like this before. It was a challenging mission. And to top it all, Jesus says, don't take any bread with you. The disciples do a good job. They accomplish the mission. They come back and tell Jesus everything they did. But people still kept coming. And Jesus said, let's go to a quiet place where you can eat and rest. And then let's debrief. But as they do that, people see. 5,000 people see them. And they follow them to the solitary place where Jesus wanted to give some rest to his disciples. And when Jesus sees this 5,000, his heart goes out in compassion for them. He teaches them till late in the evening. I'm not going to do that. I'll finish in 35 minutes. Alright, I'll finish in 35 minutes. Jesus teaches till late in the evening. And the crowd is also now tired and hungry. And the disciples come and say, we need to get some rest. And somebody musters up the courage to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I think it's a good idea to send them away so they can go and, you know, eat, get some food to eat and rest. Jesus looks at the disciples and shocks them with his response. He says, you give them something to eat. Whoa. What is Jesus doing here? Consider the full sequence of events. Jesus sends them on a trip, on a difficult, challenging trip, and says, don't take any bread. Jesus, when they come back, Jesus tells them, you haven't even had anything to eat. Come, rest and eat. Right? And then he tells them, simple, feed 5,000 people. He just said 12 of them, feed 5,000 people. Can you see the difference in the way Jesus is treating the crowd? This passage says, he had compassion on them, and the way Jesus is treating his disciples. The Bible says Jesus has compassion on the crowd, but he lays out an incredibly hard challenge for his disciples. He is asking 12 tired and hungry men to feed 5,000 people. Jesus is unhesitating. He is unflinchingly pressing his disciples into the service of the crowd. This, my friends, is tough love. I want us to consider the reality of the situation. Both the crowd and the disciples are hungry. In fact, I think it's fair to assume that the disciples are more hungry than the crowd because they've been on a trip without bread. Both the crowd and the disciples are tired. In fact, I think it's safe to assume that the disciples are actually a lot more tired than the crowd because they've been on the road longer. Both are in similar situations. Both are facing exactly the same circumstances. Both are facing exactly the same problems. And Jesus could have fed them both. Eventually, Jesus fed them both. That's what happened. But he chose to press his disciples into the service of the crowd in order to feed the crowd. Put another way, Jesus chose not to feed the crowd without pressing his disciples to serve the crowd. This is tough love. Why is Jesus doing this? Does it make sense? Why is Jesus stretching his disciples so much? Why is Jesus pushing his disciples so hard? Jesus is teaching his disciples a profound truth. We cannot be loved by Jesus and not be compelled by that very love of Jesus to serve others. The tough love of Jesus is coaching his disciples to extend to the crowd the same love they so abundantly received from Jesus. This is the moment that I need to pause and ask us all to reflect on one question. Are you a part of the crowd, or are you one of his disciples? It's an important question. Every one of us who would consider ourselves to be a believer of Jesus, we need to wrestle with this question. And with your permission, even without it, I'm going to exercise some tough love now. I'm going to push us all to consider one question, another question. I would request you not to answer the question based on who you think you are, but I'm going to request you to answer the question to yourself by listening to what your behavior in 2017 tells you about yourself. I guess that's clear. Last year, did we feed others when we were hungry? Last year, did we serve others in our suffering? And as Jesus shows from this incident, the difference between his crowd, between the crowd and the disciples is Jesus is unhesitant in calling his disciples to serve the crowd in their fatigue, in their tiredness, in their hunger, and in their suffering. Only one God can have the audacity to call us to serve others in our suffering. Only a God who suffered the ultimate death, the death by humiliation and crucifixion on the cross, rejected not just by men, but rejected by the Father himself when he bore the punishment for your sins and mine, dying on the cross, and then having fully paid, having fully borne on himself the full wrath of a holy and just God for your sins and mine, and then having finished the sentence, rising up from the dead. Only a God who sacrificed his son to save us can have the audacity to call us to serve other people in our suffering. If we consider ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, we should have a posture of being joyfully willing to serve others in our limitations, in our struggles, in our challenges. At New City, we want to be very intentional in creating a pathway for us to grow, for every one of us without exception, to grow in this tough love of Jesus, to grow in learning to serve others as Jesus served us. We have laid out a pathway for each of us, a pathway of sacrificial service. We will show you the pathway. We will encourage you to walk in this pathway of tough love, but we will never force you to walk in this pathway. And we will not judge you if you choose not to walk in this pathway at this point in time. But what is this pathway? We're calling this pathway New City Builders. New City Builders is a small group of about 25 people now who have pledged themselves into sacrificial service of others because they're compelled to do so by the infinitely sacrificial love of Jesus. This group has pledged to serve others with their time, with their skills, with their money through New City Church. This group met for the first time yesterday, and we agreed to allow one another. I must say, if we were there yesterday, you would have understood. It was when we considered all that Jesus was calling us to. It was pretty intimidating. This kind of serving others in our suffering is pretty intimidating. But when we considered the size of the challenge, by the grace of God, our eyes also shifted to the size of the sacrifice that God made to save us. And so that fear gave way to joy. Fear gave way to faith. And we ended the day growing in our conviction that God will give us the grace to serve others despite the challenges we face. And we ended the day in a place where we really wanted to serve these people, serve others. Not just it's, we had to prove ourselves and, you know, we are cool dudes, you know, we can take it in. And that's not the point. That's not the idea. We want to serve others because Jesus loves us. He loved us with a sacrificial love, and his love compels us to serve. So if you were not here yesterday, that doesn't mean you're excluded from the New City community, New City Builders community. Far from it. New City Builders is always going to be an open community. We are constantly looking to invite people into sacrificial service of Jesus and sacrificial service to others. Anybody who feels his or her heart stirred at any point in time to say, you know what, the love of Jesus is compelling me to serve people, you're welcome to New City Builders. If you're feeling that today, meet me after the service. And we'll get you on to New City Builders. This community is going to be a community within a community, and we're going to be defined by the sacrificial love that Jesus blessed us with. And we're going to be defined by sharing this. This community, we believe we cannot just be consumers of God's love. We have to be conduits and channels of God's love into the life of others as well. So the call of tough love is made loud and clear over anyone who considers himself or herself to be a follower or a disciple of Jesus. That's the first thing I wanted to draw for us from this passage. The more we grow as disciples, the more we will experience the tough love of Jesus. The second thing I'd like to draw for us from this passage is the goal of tough love. We saw the call of tough love that's there over all believers. The second thing we're looking at is the goal of tough love. What is this tough love looking to accomplish in and through us? Let's go back to the passage once again. The disciples are tired and hungry. The crowd is tired and hungry. The disciples ask Jesus, please send the crowd back home. We can't buy pizzas for so many people. Kids' church doable. We can buy pizzas for kids' church. We can't buy pizzas for so many people. But Jesus asks 12 disciples to feed 5,000 people. The number still, you know, it's mind-boggling. 12 people to feed 5,000 people. Shocked, the disciples tell Jesus they need to have the food. They probably didn't have the money as well. But there is a lot to be learned from Jesus' reply to his disciples. How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. It's a really simple question. What do you have? What do you have? And it is this question that I've chosen for the title of this sermon. What do you have? A few weeks ago, I was praying, waiting on God, asking him to guide me to what to preach to New City in the new year. And I sense God's Holy Spirit lay this phrase on my heart. What do you have? And I immediately connected that phrase to this passage of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it was from this one thought, God's helped me craft this entire sermon series. What do you have? When Jesus pressed 12 disciples into the service of 5,000 people in the crowd, the question he asked them is, what do you have? Every time the tough love of Jesus presses us into the service of others, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what do I have? Let's take stock here. What did the crowd have? I think nothing. What did the disciples have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. But this is only one part of the equation. There is something else that the crowd did not have, but the disciples had. Let me show that to us from the passage. The passage says that Jesus had compassion on the crowd. The passage does not say that Jesus had compassion on the disciples, even though they were perhaps more tired and hungry. Why is that? The answer is a beautiful one and is there in the passage. If you look at verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is saying the crowd did not have a shepherd. But Jesus is saying the disciples did have a shepherd. The disciples had Jesus. Now do you see why Jesus had compassion only on the crowd? Now do you see why Jesus is pressing his disciples into the service of 5,000? Let's complete the equation. The crowd was tired and hungry. The disciples were tired and hungry. The crowd had nothing to eat. The disciples hardly had anything. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But the most important part of the equation, the crowd did not yet have Jesus as their shepherd. The disciples had Jesus, and that changed everything. So what is the goal of tough love? The goal of tough love is to teach us to trust Jesus above all else. When Jesus pressed 12 tired and hungry disciples to feed 5,000 men, he wanted his tough love to teach his disciples what Paul later discovered and described himself to us in one beautiful sentence in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think it's worth reading that passage in its full context. Philippians chapter 4 verses 11 to 13. Philippians is a book in the Bible in the New Testament that was written after Jesus was born. This is Paul, an amazing follower of Jesus, disciple of Jesus, writing this. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me. The goal of tough love is to teach us to trust in Christ above all. What do you have? Here's a simple truth from the passage. When we have Jesus, whatever little else we have is more than enough to serve others. When we have Jesus, whatever little else we have is more than enough to serve others. When we have Jesus, whatever else we do not have does not matter. With Jesus, whatever else we do not have does not matter. I've been a follower of Jesus for about almost 25 years now. And one of the saddest things that I've seen and one of the saddest sins I've committed is a full-fledged believer of Jesus saying that he or she is not yet ready to serve. I've done this. The disciples said, we don't have enough bread. And we come up with various variations of the same excuse. I don't have time now. I don't have enough money now. I don't have any spiritual gifts yet. I don't have the skills that I need to serve. I'm not ready yet. I have too many family commitments. In response to all of this, Jesus would simply ask us, what do you have? Jesus told his disciples, go and see what you had. And they came back and they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And today God is asking us, what do you have? I would encourage us to take an inventory of whatever little we have. We all have something. I know it may be only a little, but I would encourage us to take an inventory. And as you take the inventory, let me ask us, just like the disciples, are we also forgetting what else we have? We must look at our skills, we must look at our finances, we must look at our talents, we must look at our time, we must look at the unique spiritual gifts that we have, which God has given to us by His Holy Spirit. We must look at the talents that God has given us. But when God asks us the question, what do you have? May our answer be, I have Jesus. I have Jesus. If that's our first response, that is all we need to serve others. If we have Jesus, everything else is secondary. The disciples came back with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they assumed that's all they had. They were wrong. They had Jesus. When we have Jesus, whatever little else we have is more than enough. When we have Jesus, whatever we do not have does not matter. All of us have excuses not to serve. Some of us think, you know, I live so far away that I can't really serve. Some of us think, you know, I'm in a really busy season in my college or in my work that I can't serve. Some of us think we're still single, so we may not be able to serve as much as couples can serve. We think that if I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, when I get married, then I will serve. Friends, neither our residency nor our marital status should define our ability to serve. Our faith in Jesus defines our ability to serve. The goal of tough love, hang in with me here. The goal of tough love is to teach us that we are not defined either by what we have or by what we do not have. The goal of tough love is to teach us that we are defined by Jesus, whom we will always have. The goal of tough love is to teach us to trust Jesus above all else. If we have Jesus, if we believe in Him, we are ready to serve others. Let me reapply this in the context of New City Builders. to be a new city builder, you need not primarily need time, money, talent, skills, etc. To be a new city builder, we primarily need Jesus. Do we believe we have Jesus? If we believe we have Jesus, we have all we need to be a new city builder. Allow me to close with one thought. I'm finishing early so I don't have to buy pizza for anyone. We'll close with one thought. When Jesus asked 12 tired and hungry disciples to feed 5,000 people, they came back with economics. They said it will take more than half a year's wages. Bible commentators say that in that time, half a year's wages is about 200 denarii. That was the currency of that time, 200 denarii. And so in the economics of the disciples, 200 denarii was needed to feed one meal, to buy one pizza each for 5,000 men. 200 denarii for one meal for 5,000 men. This was the economics of the disciples. But in the economics of God, but in the economics of the gospel, 30 pieces of silver was enough to feed millions of people for all eternity. Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. That betrayal led to the crucifixion of Jesus just as God had planned it from before the beginning of time. And on the cross, Jesus was punished not by the Pharisees, not by the Jews, not by the Roman soldiers who crucified him. Jesus was punished by God himself. And he was not punished for any fault of his, but he was punished for all the faults of you and me and all the faults of everyone who would believe in Jesus. And not only was Jesus punished for our sins, but the righteousness of Jesus was also given to us. And so because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can feast on Jesus through our faith on him and spend an eternity in intimate fellowship with God. 30 pieces of silver, the price for which Jesus was betrayed, was enough to get millions of people to feast on God's salvation for eternity. Gospel economics are very different. Friends, when the time comes, when the opportunity arises for us to serve others, and at that moment when we find it hard to serve, and when we feel we don't have enough to serve others, and in that moment when God asks us, "What do you have?" Let us not be limited by what we have or what we do not have, but in that moment, may the Spirit of God remind us of our faith, and may, when God asks us the question, "What do you have?" may our answer be, "I have Jesus." When we have Jesus, whatever little else we have is more than enough.